there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're going to find out about the fire hole dive today at Yellowstone National Park, supposedly, where this is happening. But we're going to talk to somebody who has a site that they visit in the area on a regular basis, and sounds quite unique. Anything called fire hole doesn't sound like an entry-level dive to me, but I don't know. We'll find out what that's all about. You know, they have Old Faithful. I don't know if they're jumping in there and then being pushed out or something and go for the ride. We'll have to see. Plus, Mr. Clay McArdle from Explorer Ventures. We're hoping to talk to him this hour as well. He's been out and about and invited me on another liveaboard trip. And if we're lucky, maybe even Big Wave Dave from the Be a Diver pool. But first, before we get into that, Captain Patrick has been working on his quizzes from his Paddy Open Water course that I'm going to be teaching him, or are in the process of teaching. He's been doing the quizzes, and we're going to go through some of those now. And actually, Patrick, how you feel? You just went through like three or four of them, one big full swoop. We usually break these up, but I figured he's ready.
Full swoop? Well, I just look at it this way, Greg.
Yeah.
My success or failure is a direct reflection of your instructional abilities that I've been under your tutelage for the last 7 months.
Right. So what you're saying is that if you do really well, it'll be because I have instructed you. So
amazingly well.
In that point. Yeah.
If I do horribly, because there's no pressure. Get it? No pressure?
Yeah, exactly. Haven't used that one ever.
doing my quizzes live on here.
Yeah.
While you and Bill were doing whatever you were doing, talking about Sharknado.
Yeah. Well, that's just what we do. Okay. Now I love
how you got the teacher's glasses on.
Well, I'm trying to look the part, and I've just went through the answer key of quiz 1, 2, and 3 while we're doing this, and you have done exceptionally well. You have only missed one question.
My name.
Actually, let me check that. You didn't.
You didn't write your name here, like it says on the answer key.
Yeah.
I can't read your cursive. It's very.
Look at my finger.
I'm number one. I know this.
How am I supposed to write? And I've got this thing in a splint.
Yeah, what is that all about? Why are you injured?
Shark attack.
It was Sharknado.
I couldn't press the button on the remote fast enough to get that crap off the TV.
That's what it was. Okay, well, that explains.
It seemed windy, so he stuck his finger up in the air to see which way the wind was blowing, and a shark bit his finger.
Yeah.
True story.
Okay. Well, I don't really buy that, actually. But we'll see. All right, but I just went through, literally, his quizzes as we spoke, and you got them all right, Patrick.
I got them all right.
You got them all right.
You said I missed one.
Except one. Well, I'm looking at quiz 1, 2, and 3, and 4.
Which one did I miss?
Quiz 4, we got to go over a couple on that one. But you weren't finished with that one anyway. But
yeah,
up through 3,
table.
You missed one. And it was place the options in the correct order.
That's a little confusing.
It is. And that's a good one to kind of cover here
because
on the show.
Did you see where I had marked it originally and then went back and changed my answer? So I wonder if I had it right the first time.
No, you didn't.
Damn it.
I had it wrong the first and second time?
Yeah, actually.
There are four correct answers. You chose the two that are not correct.
No, it's a one through six.
Stage
them in the correct order, and they give you number six.
This is question nine of quiz number three in the Patty Open Water
Would it have been more entertaining if I had missed more questions?
No. Okay. No, yeah, as you said, this is a reflection of my tutelage, and I'm taking full credit for your exceptional performance. All right, here's the question. Imagine you are in a very low air, or imagine you are very low on air and about to run out. What do you do? And then it gives you six scenarios, and you have to rate them accordingly. Now, right, to give you an example for number six, so the worst-case scenario or the last one, to prevent, about what would you do? In the future, you would look at your gauges more often so this would not happen. They give you this one as right, number six.
That's assuming you made it to the surface.
Yeah. So the first one that you should pick is a normal ascent. So you're at depth, you're running low on air.
I did that one, right?
Yep, you got that one right. And that's normal ascent, going up normally, breathing naturally, going up. Number two should be alternate air source ascent. Now, this is where your buddy has their octopus, and you've run low on air and said, can I borrow your air? And you give him your octopus, and you both ascend slowly and
control. See, that's why I changed my answers, and I went back, and I do believe I put that one as number two, correct?
Yeah, you got that one because
originally when I read the question, the way the question is worded, you kind of have to read into it.
It's the next two that always throws people.
I was assuming that, well, what if I'm diving by myself? Then, of course, as you go down to questions, it's obviously if you're diving with a dive buddy.
Right.
So that's why I went back.
So alternate air source would be your next option that you should consider. The next one, this is what throws people off. It's between buddy breathing and controlled emergency swimming ascent. The CESA, as we like to say in the biz. And that is your next one, is CESA.
Not the buddy breathing.
No.
See, now, I would have assumed that it would have been buddy breathing, because if the second one is sharing the alternate air source,
you'd think that would make sense.
That buddy you would breathe. Be right there, and you would buddy breathe.
Here's why.
Know.
Because on a CESA, that stands for controlled emergency swimming ascent. Mm-hmm. And you come from depth, and you take your breath of air, and you want to exhale continuously and swim to the surface on a slow and steady pace. But as you swim from depth, once you've taken a breath of air, that air will expand as you continue to the surface, and it'll really surprise you how far you can get. You'd think like you'd take a breath and you'd run out of air about halfway. Say you're at 30 feet or so. I think we're not going to be doing it much more than, I believe it's like 25 feet or something like that, maybe not even that, but I got to go back and look at the standards of what we're going to have to perform in the pool and stuff. But you'd be surprised how far you can get on a single breath of air. You get down 50, 60 feet.
But
emergency swimming descent. And see, you're also that the reason you'd pick this over a buddy breathe is because there's less problems that could happen.
Okay.
To you. On a buddy breathe, you're literally taking the regulator out of your buddy's mouth, or he's giving it to you.
Right.
And then they're taking two breaths, and then you're taking two breaths, and they're blowing bubbles while you're doing this. And you have to do this system all the way up and stay in rhythm, and it's very confusing. It throws people off when you get into the skill. So, you have the added problem of having to rely on someone else being out of air as well, because they're not going to have a regulator in their mouth. So there's more problems that could develop over a CESA.
Okay.
So controlled emergency swimming ascent is preferred because, you can execute it yourself. You should be able to get to the surface safely without running out of air, and we're going to practice that in the pool in the ocean. And that's how we rate it. Now, neither one of these is what You shouldn't get into a situation where this should happen ever, hopefully, is the idea, too. So, okay, so three was controlled emergency swim scent, four was buddy rave, and five was, a buoyant emergency ascent, dropping your weight belt or weight system and just, you know, filling
so
your...
Was it just those two that I had swapped?
Yeah, you had Buddy Breathe and CESA flipped. And a lot of people do that because they do. They think that alternate air source, yeah, that makes sense. That ought to be a one that comes up first. And then Buddy Breathing should be another, and then that kind of thing. So it's an honest mistake, but now you understand why. But once again, none of those scenarios hopefully will happen to you ever. But that's the procedure, that's the rating that you would put those in as far as if you got into a jam and ran out of air. But as a student of me and the fact that I will drill into you, never run out of air, this will never happen to you, right, Patrick?
Don't drill into me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the proper response. Okay, more coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Dude, an ancient sunken city.
Could it possibly be? Are the old legends true? It is. It's the fabled lost city of Atlanta.
Howdy, y'all.
I'll take you to my island, show you lots of good time. I'll take you around the world and be proud that you are mine. I'll buy you lots of things, buy you lots of diamond rings. And anything you want, that's why I have to sing. Into Ilucha, oh yeah. Into Inagua, Benete, into Long Island. All around the Grand Bahama, and Walker Street. So come go with me, come on, to Bimini. Everybody, let me hear ya. Do it.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bimini, by the way, they got some new service from Miami. They're starting a big cruise ship thing. We talked a little bit about it a couple weeks ago on the show. It is going into effect, it looks like, here in the next couple weeks. So we'll get an update on that. Looks like it might create a cheap and economical and fast way to get from Miami over to Bimini and back. For divers as well as just folks that want to go check out that little island paradise. However, Let's move on to other stuff right now. My buddy Clay McArdle, the big cheese, big kahuna, the guy we know and love from Explorer Ventures, is on Scuba Radio right now. Clay, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How everything's going with you?
I'm good. You know, for once, I'm actually calling you, and you get to rub it into me a little bit, you know, which is a nice change of pace, because I'm usually going on some trip or something, and you're always giving me grief of, like, Greg, how's this work? I own a liveaboard company, and you travel more than I do. However, the shoes have turned. The fins have been flipped or something. I don't know, because you're getting ready to head out and do a little, I don't know, adventure in the Caribbean yourself, right?
You know, I'm excited. I'm going down to Caribbean Explorer 2 down in St. Martin in a couple of weeks, and then from there I'm going over to Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 and in Provo for a week. So I think you're staying home and getting a body cavity search or something like
that. Yes, yeah, I got a little appointment I got to take care of with a doc. But, you know, you do what you got to do sometimes.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I'm sitting here basking in the glory for a change.
Yes. Well, you know, and I told Bill that, you know, you called me earlier in the week, or as soon as I got back from Dollywood, and said, hey, Greg, you want to go diving? And he made me this offer, and I tried to work it out with my schedule, seeing if I could round up some of the troops as well, maybe. But I just couldn't put it together, and I had, you know, some conflicts and things that I just couldn't get worked out. But back me up here, Clay. I invited Bill, knowing that he wouldn't be able to come. But you did give me that green light to invite Bill, right?
You know, you're just evil. You're just evil.
No, if Bill would have said, hey, yes, I'll go, then I could have asked you, and you would have said, well, no. And then I could have came back and told Bill, you know, like, well, no, he can't.
It was a weird thing, too. He said, you know, Bill, it'll be no problem. You can go, and you can stay on the liveaboard, and it's only $800 for the liveaboard, and then I'll need you to buy two airplane tickets. And it was very convoluted.
It was $1,800 for the liveaboard,
yeah.
Plus two airline tickets.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Clay?
Yeah, and I, you know, that's true. And Bill, I apologize. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. So don't blame me.
Yeah, no, he would never blame you. But the thing is I knew. I called him up, and I said, Bill, is there any chance at all you'd consider going? He goes, oh, my God, I'd love to. Oh, I can't. Which is the story of his life. He does this to me every time. And then he comes back and says, I never invite him on anything, so he can't say that now. I did invite him to go on this.
Well, you know, there's
yeah.
There's something to be said for judicious invites. I mean, you only invite
That's
him,
right.
He can't go.
Exactly.
He actually called three of my friends to make sure I had other plans.
That's just good planning. That's all that is. But anyway, so yeah, you're heading down to the Turks. Well, you're going to Saba St. Kitts first to do that itinerary, and then it's over to the Turks and Caicos, which right now is a perfect time to dive in that part of the world, right, Clay?
It's really nice down there. I know we had a that little tropical depression went by a bit south of us, but other than that, it was absolutely just flat, calm, beautiful seas, and really, really nice diving. We're seeing all sorts of cool stuff in both areas, really.
Yeah. You know, it is.
Caribbean is great for macro stuff.
Yeah, macro stuff. And you know, what I love about diving this time of year, though, is as you get into these summer months, it's nice and warm. You can just dive in a bathing suit. You don't need to put on a wetsuit or anything. It's like diving in bathwater. It's nice and refreshing, but the visibility is a lot of times very clear. Yeah, you got the storm systems you got to worry about for hurricane season, but you know the odds of that are really in your favor. But it has a tendency to scare a lot of people away from you know, this part of the world at this time of year, and I think they're missing the boat, literally. Are you with me here, Clay, or what?
I agree. I mean, you know, with weather forecasting being what it is now, and with the satellites tracking everything that's coming off the coast of Africa, you know, the Caribbean is a very safe place to go. You know, if worst comes to worst, which very rarely happens, then you just fly home early.
That's right. Yeah, and, you know, that's why you get your you get your travel insurance or whatever that you get in, and if God forbid something does happen, you can get covered in that sense. But man, you get out there
And, you know, the odds are with you that you're going to have some of the best diving conditions you could ever encounter. At Saba St. Kitts itinerary, we're going back out there in January. January 18th, call Explore Ventures, 1-800-322-3577, and you can join us as well as some photographers from Dive Training Magazine and the folks from Scuba Pro for a little demo week. And a little, you know, we got a whole bunch of things we're throwing into the mix for that. But just go anytime. It's okay. And then Turks and Caicos, I know the week you're going, they got some spaces open, but is it, are there still on both boats? Can you get on there in the next couple months, depending on the week, or how's it working right now?
Yeah, you can. There's still some space available on both boats at certain weeks. We've got some specials running with some discounts for both boats coming up in the next couple months. So check our website; they're all listed there. And you know, there's a few spots left.
All right, very good. Well, Clay, I expect a full report for you to come back and just rub it in, or maybe you just call us from the satellite phone on the boat this time. What do you think? Would you do that? Would you actually take time?
I'll be happy to gloat, you know, a little bit. And Bill, promise me you won't tell Greg that I talked to you to make sure he was tied up for those couple of weeks, will you?
Yeah. Mum's the word.
Yeah, exactly. If you say so.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. All right, Clay. Well, take care, buddy, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
I'll do my best. You guys have fun, and I'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, I know he will. In between, you know, the rum and cokes and the world class diving and the gloating that he'll no doubt be able to finally get back on us for once, which is nice. I'm willing to share the gloating with other folks. That's a good thing, right? All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
I think he's cheating. Captain Patrick's working on his quizzes. I just caught him. I think the pressure's getting to him. What do you think?
I think what he's doing is using the chart to determine his dive profile.
He can use the dive planner. He can use the dive planner to answer some of those questions in quiz four, but he can't use the instruction manual, which he had out. I saw him like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm like, you can't do that on the quiz. You can do that on the knowledge review.
First thing he said when I came in, did you bring everything? I said yes. And it was all laid out on the table here in the studio.
Yeah,
he looked at everything, went through. I mean, what was with the body cavity search looking for cheat sheets and stuff?
I do that to everyone who comes into the studio.
That's true. That is true.
That's just studio protocol here at Scuba Radio.
You know what? It's why I've never worried about my prostate.
Well. We want everybody to be healthy. Anyway, yeah, he's going back, and you're almost done, right? Or are you done?
I've got one left.
You got one left? All right, well, keep working on it.
How about if I just guess?
No, that you can't guess. What do you give up? Is that what you're saying?
I never give up.
Well, so
guessing is not giving up.
Guessing is saying, all right, so I could spend another 3 hours knowing that I'm right, or I could make a good guess right now, and if I'm wrong, you'll just tell me.
That's
not giving up.
The thing is, you want to know this information.
What did you tell me about this dive planner during the break?
That you'll never, ever need it again.
No, I did not say that.
That you will never, ever in 100,000 years use it, because in the off chance that you need to use the dive planner, your computer's given up and it's a Y2K scenario and there's probably zombies chasing you and there'll be far more important things. The best thing you can use that dive table for is to learn how to throw it like a frisbee to take a zombie off at the neck.
No, actually, it makes a good fan during your surface animal.
I believe you made some reference to Archimedes.
No, here's the thing. You have to learn the dive table to have a basis.
I need my sexton.
How to operate as a scuba diver, and of course you're going to use a dive computer, but you can always have that to fall back on. So you do have to learn how to use the dive table.
I'm working on it.
Okay, get on it.
Put that book away, cheater. All right, we'll get him. Another cavity search for him. And we're going to talk about fire holes.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Dive Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
What keeps us from swimming away?
Rupture of the depths. If we try to go up by ourselves, we'll breathe in too much nitrogen.
What does that do?
Makes you giddy. Makes you hallucinate and ultimately die.
I started out clean, but I'm jaded. Just falling in, or just breaking my skin. Can you help me? I'm bent. I'm so scared that I'll never get put back together. Keep breaking me in, and this is how we will live with you and me.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer. Captain Patrick is working on his open water course. He's in quiz number three. This is where you get into dive tables. He already went through three. This is in four. He's working through his last question or two. I got through the cavity search. It has nothing to do with this fire hole dive that we're about to find out about. Supposedly in Yellowstone National Park. I found out about this at the DEMA show, and actually one of the guys who won a trip, I believe, to the Maldives from Explorer Ventures with our little contest that we did at DEMA, this was the guy, and he he was real excited about winning the trip and that kind of thing, and he started talking to me about this dive that he does in Yellowstone National Park. And he called it, referred to it as the fire hole dive or something to that effect. Brett Stewart is his name, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Brett, how are you, and welcome.
I'm doing good. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, man. So, by the way, first things first, did you ever go on that Maldives trip yet, or are you still working on it?
Still working on it.
Still
haven't
working.
Made it yet.
Yeah, you gotta go. We just went a few weeks ago to the Maldives. You will love it. It will change your life as a diver.
Go soon, because within the next, I don't know, fortnight, it's going to be underwater due to global warming.
Yeah, which gives them like 100 more scuba sites. So it'll never get old. All right, so and I remember, when you sent me the email about this, Brett, it slowly came back to me, because I know we had a after-hours conversation about this fire hole dive.
Yes, we were enjoying that rum punch in the Bahamas.
Yes, and it's a little fuzzy, but I remember him talking about this fire hole thing, and I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? You need to tell me about this on the show, and we can share this with everybody. So you're located in Iowa, but one of the...
Idaho,
I'm sorry. And
Idaho, yeah, right there, by Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah, and so you take divers over to this site in Yellowstone. Is it actually in the park, or what?
It is actually in the park, yeah.
So it's
technically in Wyoming.
Okay, so this isn't in like Old Faithful, and you guys are diving in Old Faithful, and every hour you kind of blow up out of there. That would be an awesome dive, by the way.
But, that would be an awesome dive. Water might be a little bit warm.
Yes.
But the fire hole is actually just below Geyser Basin, so that's where Old Faithful is.
Okay.
And the Geyser Basin dumps into the Fire Hole River and makes it a warm water dive and a cold water climate.
Interesting. Okay, so it's nice warm water, and
we've been about 80 degrees in the water temps so far this week.
Interesting. So explain how this works then. Yeah, you have to go into the park, so I guess there's a park fee though, right?
Yes, you have to pay to get into the park,
right?
And they're pretty picky about that.
So but this is a site that a lot of divers, and I mean, do you have a dive store there? Is that what it is in Idaho, or what? I forget.
I help out the local dive store here in Idaho Falls.
Got it.
And,
okay.
We'll take clients up from time to time in small groups. It's certainly not a big place where you're going to take, a huge crowd of people with you.
Okay.
But what the fire hole is, it's a small river. It only runs about 300 cubic feet per second, so it's not like it's, you know, no Mississippi here. We're talking a little river. But there's no power plants, nothing like that on it. It's, you know, way up in the park. Everything's nice and natural, so you get this really good visibility for fresh water. I don't know if you do much freshwater diving, Greg.
Well, you know, I've done, we have Rainbow Springs out here in Central Florida, which is a similar type of, well, it's a river run dive. Is that kind of what you're describing? And by the way, I called it fire hole. Is it fire hose? Is that what you said?
No, it's fire hole.
Fire hole, okay.
Fire hole.
All right. Well, yeah. So, and we have a lot of spring dives that are really good visibility, but I'm, you know, lay the groundwork. So is it one big, you know, like a lake hole type of thing that's stagnant water?
Oh, no, it is
water?
A river.
It is a river. Okay. So you shoot.
It is a river.
Do you, like, shoot the rapids then type of thing in the dive or flow with the river flow?
No, we
or
actually
what?
Climb the rapids.
Aha. Okay. So you climb up the flow.
Upstream dive.
Okay. So you and how deep are we talking for this?
Well, when you at the entry point, you drop into this big bowl, and it's kind of like a, to describe it, it's like a fish bowl.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got an overhead, but it's all slopes up to the top.
Okay.
And you have to climb through this bowl, and of course the water's spinning like crazy in this bowl because it all is being pushed through this tight opening in the lavas.
Got it.
And then as you go up through this, it ends at a wall. And you've got to jump up this wall, and there's a few handholds that you can grab onto, and you got to pull yourself up over, and it puts you at a nice heavy current, but not like super bad.
Right.
And you can put yourself up on top of there. When you get up on top of there, you know, you'll see swimmers going overhead and stuff, because it's a swimming hole at the park.
Right.
Well, if you can climb upstream, you get to go climb upstream in the rapids, because you're moving right into the rapids.
Nice, okay.
And depending on the strength of the diver and the skill level will depend on how far up this they get.
Interesting.
Some of them will only get to this ledge, and they'll be done. They'll be like, "Yep, not going any farther."
Now, at that point, what depth are you at? What kind of depth are we talking here?
About 12 feet at the start of it.
Okay,
and it goes up to about 5-6 feet.
Okay, so it sounds like it's underwater rock climbing. That's what it sounds like
it
to me.
Literally
almost.
Is. Okay, it literally is. You've got to find your handholds. If you don't get a good one, it goes rolling downstream.
Interesting. So it's called fire hole. Why? Why do they call it fire?
Because it's 80 degrees in Idaho.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's coming out of Geyser Basin.
Yeah.
But the question I have, Brad, is what do you wear on your feet? This doesn't sound like something you wear fins for.
You could.
You know, you can wear fins, and they're somewhat useful sometimes. For the most part, I wear boots. I like to wear jungle boots.
Yes. So you underwater rock climb.
You could wear those Vibram five-finger things.
That's right. And then
walking on the bottom.
Now,
this sounds fun.
I assume there's a point, though, you get to that point where you can't go any further, and then you just let go and go, take a ride to the back to where you started kind of thing. Is that what you do or what?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a bailout to your left through most of it, unless you get into the really, really wicked stuff, in which case there's no bailout. It's pure downstream is where you're going.
Yeah.
I found that, you know, certain divers, like I said, some will get farther than others. If you bail out to the left, you're in a back eddy, you know, nice and slow.
If you don't bail out, where do you end up?
Catch your breath.
If you don't make that bailout point, where do you end up? At Old Faithful or what happens?
You're heading down. You go back to the base.
The current will actually take you downstream and drop you off right at that 12-foot mark where you're coming over that rock ledge.
Oh, okay.
It'll put you on a little sandbar right there.
Yeah. All right.
And
so
that's where you'll end up. But it's kind of a dishwasher effect. You'll find that, you know, if your feet float up at all or if you've got fins on, you'll end up rocking back and forth, left and right, and pretty quick you don't know where your feet are. They're just behind you somewhere.
Nice. Well, it sounds like the washing machine dive in the Galapagos that I did. I mean, I didn't realize it was this crazy when you had emailed me that. But now it's coming back to me. You know, I remember that rum punch we had in the Bahamas, it did make my memory quite fuzzy. But now I remember him telling me all about this, like, hey, this sounds like the Galapagos. I got to check this out. So it wouldn't be the kind of thing for a beginner diver by any stretch, it sounds like to me.
No, it's not. You know, here's the thing. As a beginner diver can go there, they can have fun, and they can learn a little bit about currents, they certainly are not going to make it to the rapids.
Right. Right. But if you're very comfortable in the water, this could be quite the theme park ride or little fun adventure underwater thing to pass some time.
You know, here's the deal. We have 80-degree water. You still need the 3-mil suit.
Really?
And the reason for the 3-mil suit is you need some protection from the rocks.
Got it. Yeah, is it like lava-type stuff or outcroppings, jaggedy-type stuff like that?
It's not super jagged, but that water will move you into it quite fast.
Yeah, I bet. What about marine life? Do they got anything in there, or is it too warm to get freshwater fish and stuff, or what?
It depends on the year. Last year we had wonderful fish. Some nice German browns, some cutthroats, you know, like Yellowstone cutthroats, stuff like that.
It sounds great. Fire a hole there in Yellowstone National Park. Got to put it on the list.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We got to
get down, get down.
Got to
get down.
I think we found the site for Captain Patrick's first open water dive.
Fire in the hole!
No, I can't do that. That would be that'd be violating Patty standards. I can't do that.
Yeah,
as much as I'd like to.
I don't think it's deep enough.
It's deep enough. It's deep enough to drown him.
12 feet is deep enough for his first open water dive?
No, it doesn't really matter if your mission is to just drown him. It doesn't really matter how deep the water is, Bill.
Remember in the pre-show how you said you didn't want to make fun of this training and you were taking it serious?
I don't recall saying that. What part of that, when did I say that?
When I said, are you going to make fun of my training and my test answers
air?
And you said,
I said, no, absolutely not,
because that would violate my duties as a PADI instructor.
No, I said some of the answers that we're going to cover, we don't want to cover on the air because I want to make sure you get them correctly.
You said violate and duty in the same sentence.
You caught that, did you?
That's funny. Sharknado. That's hilarious. Okay, quiz number four. He did pretty good. There's, you know, the dive tables have a tendency to trip everybody up. And so we're going to have to go over this off the air because it's really hard to describe the dive tables verbally. You got to go through the actual table.
I like to describe them as a chessboard on acid.
The thing is about the dive tables is once you get it, it's very easy. But getting to that point of having the light bulb go off, because at first it's very confusing. There's a lot of numbers and graphs, and you're like, what the hell?
Oh, and there's letters. Letters and numbers. The letters are the important part.
I like colors and shapes myself. Yeah. I do better with colors and shapes.
It can be confusing.
This was not my challenge.
Some people it is, for some people it's not.
Right. I had a challenge. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I had a challenge, but this was not it.
Could we get like a CNC dive table?
Yeah, we could, but we're not going to.
Pretty much your dive computer.
Yeah, that's
pretty
true.
Pretty much this will be you.
All right, one question in
going forward.
Quiz four.
Nothing to worry about here.
That Patrick had an issue with, and we need to go over. It says decompression sickness is a condition that can be life-threatening. What forms in the bloodstream and tissues that can cause this condition?
They should never put cotton candy as a possible answer.
We will always choose cotton candy.
Okay, whatever. What forms in the bloodstream and tissues that can cause this condition? Poisons? No. Body waste? That would be funny, but no. None of the
it
above.
It would be our duty to warn you about it.
Nitrogen bubbles is one of the options. That's the correct answer, yeah. Yes. That is decompression sickness. That is the bends. Bubbles form in your bloodstream that blocks blood flow, and that's what creates problems. Blood can't get around. And
usually evidence themselves in your joints.
That's one of many symptoms that can happen. But, yeah, tingling, numbness in the joints is a symptom. But there's a lot of other symptoms that can be associated with that as well. People can faint. They can puke, whatever. But, yeah, tingling and numbness is the main thing, and you want to get people on oxygen. So there you go. I think not a big issue. You understand that, right?
Yep. All those years I thought I was falling in love. It turns out it was decompression.
That's right. Maximum depth for all recreational scuba divers, even experienced divers, is... Bill, what's the recreational dive limit for diving?
I'm going to say 120.
130.
Ah!
Should have gone with cotton candy.
And you know, you would have got that right because 120 wasn't an option. They gave you 60, 100.
Wait, how could he have gotten it right?
Because the choices were there. And if I thought it was 120 and the choice was 130, or what was the one less than 130?
100.
See, I know it's over 100.
Yeah. That's 130's recreational dive limit. And went through you, Patrick, I think.
The word limit.
Well, maybe. The recreational dive limit.
I think he would know what threw him.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know. I need to tell him why he got confused. The thing is, your Paddy Open Water course.
Yes.
Once we get through this, you're going to be certified to dive to 60 feet.
The one that I've been training for 7 months.
Yeah. Advanced Open Water certifies you to dive to 100 feet. The recreational dive limit is 130 feet. So really, you're not supposed to go over 100 feet, even as an advanced open water diver.
And it's not necessary. Trust me on this. It's not necessary. The deepest I've ever dove was 110 feet, and I was in a chute. I was in a coral formation, and I came out, and at the bottom I was 110. I came right back up. It's the only time I've been below 100 feet.
Yeah. And you know, even in your advanced open water course, we take you past 100 feet and do a little skill to show you how it affects your motor skills and things. So you can see the difference that
we do the same thing with rum. It's a little test just to see how it affects your motor skills.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not.
And we have you drink 120 of them.
Yeah. What's funny is we've done that test many, many more times than the advanced open water course. But that's why the recreational limit throws you off a little bit, because open water people think, you know, once they get their open water certification, that they can dive wherever they want. They can dive wherever they want, but technically they're certified to go to 60 feet. They're not supposed to dive past 60 feet. Now, does that mean people don't dive past 60 feet? Of course it doesn't. It's really, this is where it kind of comes into personal responsibility and monitoring your own skills, because you are going to get certified. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily qualified. You know what I'm saying? It's a certification, not a qualification.
As an example, Greg and I are certified to do radio.
I don't think so, actually.
Well, I am.
Are we qualified?
Absolutely.
Well, the jury's out on that one, too.
Jury's still out.
All over. It's,
it's
a continuing
out.
Theme going on right now. But that's where we'll have to leave it today. Till next time, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Get down there, buddy.
You know how to win. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. I'm the one.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.